All right, everyone. We are here, Ed Raymer with Heavenly Raymer Show. We're getting started a little late, just a few seconds late here. Anyway, I'm not going to lie to you. I spilled a glass of water, and Frank and Carrie Lambert are my guests. They're here. Will somebody get it before it shorts out the circuit on here? Bart, I might owe you for a new board. And Frank and Carrie are here tonight. We're glad to have them here. And they're here because Canada has elected. They are Canadian. They're Canadian friends of ours that are here. And they are here to help explain how Canada's government works. We're glad to have them here. And if we can get them to keep, we've got them working right now, doing their part to clean up. Quit. Angela is leaving and she's laughing, and I hear you out there laughing at me. Yeah, it's funny. Like I said, Bart, you know, yeah.
If you're not laughing,
hang on a minute.
Crying,
so. No, hang on. Turn his mic on. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. If you're not laughing, you're crying. So it's better to laugh. So
yeah, Frank. Thanks. Carrie. Yeah, okay. I didn't mean to bring you up here and make clean the station. I mean, you do enough of this. I'm sure y'all do enough of this at home. Thank you. Okay, it's all right. You can leave.
Okay,
it's okay. You might want to clean under that board. Make sure that thing don't short out, Connor, because, I mean, I'm sorry. Boy, I have made a mess. Okay, it's my fault. I did it. I've been waiting. After 13 years, this is it. Finally, it happened. Okay. It happened when our Canadian friends came up. Now, okay. Carrie, how are you doing, hon? You okay now?
Yeah, I'm hanging in there.
Okay, well, I'm not. And I've asked them up here to explain to us how the Canadian, not way of life, but your government works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, Connor, let's kick this off and let's get started. And I want Frank and Gary to have, you know, maximum yield of their time. But for right now, my name is Evan Lee Raymer. Yes, I'm still a private investigator. Welcome aboard.
This is the Edwin Lee Raymer Show with your host, Ed Raymer, on your good neighbor station, News Radio WGNS.
A little rock and roll kick you off on a Sunday night, and we're kicked off right, and Carrie's done kicked me right in line, honey. You be proud of her. And this is the Edwin Lee Raymer Show, and I'm your host, Ed Raymer. This show's produced here at Studios WGNS AM and FM 1450 AM 100.5 101.9 FM right here in the heart of the great volunteer state, Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Now, you can reach us tonight with your questions and comments. I think some of you will probably have them. I've spoken with a couple of you today, and we anxiously await your questions for these two wonderful people. And you can send us a text if you don't want to go on the air. If you're a little too shy, we understand, okay? And thank you all for being here.
Mm-hmm. Thanks
thank
for
you
having
so
us.
Much. No, I
thank
appreciate
you.
It mm-hmm. so much. And the ways to watch us, I'm not going through all this again. I mean, my wife listens on Alexa. You can listen on the old-fashioned radio, AM 1450, FM 100.5, 101.9 FM. YouTube, we're on News Radio, WGNS. We're on there live. You can go to the website, WGNSradio.com. Scroll over to where it says Listen Live. And we're on YouTube Live right now, or Facebook Live, whichever you want. So, with that said, and with everything dried off, now I'm slapping around the camera. Okay. This is not going well. So, I'm going to turn this over to a woman. And, Frank, we're outnumbered tonight, even though There's three of us and one of ours.
Yes, I know.
And she'll let us know, I'm sure.
Definitely. Okay.
All right, folks, seriously, I want you to tell us, you got you a new prime minister.
Correct.
Okay, and we're going to play some quotes from him in just a minute.
Sure.
Can you tell us, you are a, you have, you cover, you have 11 provinces?
10 provinces. 10 provinces, three territories. And at the federal level, we have, 338 seats or districts, if you will,
ridings.
Across the country. Ridings.
Okay.
Yep.
Right.
Okay. That are represented by members of parliament, just like you have congressmen and congresswomen representing the people in the House of Representatives.
Right. And the Congress that we have. Mm-hmm. Represents the people probably a little more because they're elected every 2 years or reelected or fired or gotten rid of by the voters, their constituency. Let me ask you something, because I think we have about 200,000+ constituents to each Congress person. That's 240,000. I'm not sure on that.
Sure.
Do you know what that breakdown is for Canada? How many? Because y'all are a big country, man.
It's a big country, but we also
have...
Well,
geographically, it's large, but population-wise, it's not quite as large.
Right, okay.
We're, you know, 40 million people in, you know, the second largest country by area in the world.
And we have 340 million here.
Yeah, exactly.
And I see where you're coming from. Right.
So we have some ridings in, especially in the northern parts of the provinces, that are massive. I mean, we're talking...
Geographically massive.
Lower on population. I think the ratio, I think it's about roughly 120,000 people per member of parliament. Roughly.
Yeah.
Very rough numbers off the top
about
of
my
head.
About half what we've got.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, so you'll have really tiny districts or ridings in a city like Toronto, for example. Really small geographically.
Sure. Okay.
But Northern Ontario, you would have a massive, like perhaps a state like Ohio might fit in it or something like that.
Right. Okay.
So just to give you an idea of the scope.
Sure. Sure.
So a lot of our members of parliament, actually, when they're back in their riding back home, when they're traveling around to speak to their people, some of them actually have to take planes, you know.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah, floating planes, all the rest.
You span probably, what, 6-7 time zones?
Five and a half.
Yeah, it's the same as you, plus we have Newfoundland time, which is a half hour off instead of an hour off.
That is correct.
Okay.
So it's the same time zones as America, plus a half hour, which is Newfie time.
Now, we have a fella down here that wants to make you our 51st state.
Mm. Yeah, we've already fought a war over that, over the exact same geographical area.
Does he know about that?
I doubt it. I think he missed his history class when we already had that war. And spoiler alert, America didn't win that war.
Yeah,
that's why Ontario is still Ontario and part of Canada and not part of America. And that's when the White House got burned down and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they say Canada has two modes, or Canadians have two modes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, or you'll be sorry.
Mm-hmm. Well, your new prime minister said, you know, all bets are off when the gloves come off. That's a hockey.
Yes.
I wouldn't want to. I wouldn't want to go around with him. I'm gonna tell you right now. I like this guy.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you too, Ed. And I see this in all of the social media pages that I'm a member of or whatever. Everybody, all the Canadians are saying, you know, we love the American people.
Yeah.
You know, they're our cousins for
sure.
But it's the politics that's driving a lot of this division, not only within the United States, but also between the United States and other countries, including their closest ally, not only in, historically, at least since the War of 1812, obviously, but even in international groups like, you know, the UN, NATO, NORAD, we share a lot of common values and that hasn't changed. You know, in 4 years, if there is another president, then I could see things going back to normal very, very quickly.
I think you're right. Mm-hmm. I mean, this whole situation, come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when he came out with that, I said... 51st state. Yeah. That's going to be one heck of a state right there. Well, I'm telling you.
But, and also, do you know, I can't see a province like Ontario, which is about 15 million people, or even a province like Quebec, which is like 9 million, wanting to be lumped into one big quote-unquote state as a 51st state.
Sure. No,
so that would not be happening.
Oh, no, this is the one thing I have to admit. There's division in Canada as well. People have very strong political views one way or the other. Mm-hmm. But the fact we have the Progressive Conservatives and the Liberals and the NDP banding together, like the fact Trudeau and Ford were getting along and agreeing on something, if you understand Canadian politics, your head's going to explode that these two agreed on something and gone along. That would be like our current administration saying that, you know, Biden's their best friend and they agree with everything Biden did. It's unheard of for these people to get along.
It's actually kind of funny. In Canada, there's actually a lot of conflict between the provincial premiers and the federal government. The federal government wants to extend its power even more because federalists believe that a strong federal government will make Canada stronger. It would be a more unifying voice. But the provinces, they depending on where they're located and, you know, who settled there and they all have their identity. So for Quebec is a great example. And I will add to, I'm half Quebecois. My father was actually born and raised in Quebec.
Okay.
There's always been, this battle between Quebec wanting more power for themselves and for their people against the federal government and vice versa. So I would say even the federal provincial relations are probably a little more divisive than federal state relations are here, regardless the political orientations between the federal government and the respective state government.
Well, Quebec has wanted to separate. I mean, you think about the Bloc Québécois. Was that the 90s when they were?
Well, they had
a referendum about leaving Canada.
Two referendums.
But the thing is, they might want to leave Canada. They don't want to join America.
No.
Well, you'd be out in left field, so we don't want that.
Yeah.
You know, I'll leave that to them. That's their bailiwick, and that's their war to fight. So
exactly.
To speak. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, there's so much. My mind is fogged. This whole thing. I'll tell you what let's do. We're going to play it, Connor, when we come back. Mm-hmm. Let's go to our first break. Okay, we've got to go to a break. Let's do that. Frank and Karen Lambert are with us. We're talking about Canada tonight. They have themselves a new prime minister, and it is official.
Yes, it is official. I think last week he was sworn in. Sworn in by our governor general.
And I didn't want to say because I didn't know if there was another process he had to go through or whatever. So let's do that. And we're going to be back with Frank and Carrie, and we're going to talk about all things Canadian tonight, okay? Back with you right after this. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged to follow, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Go to J. Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Murphy Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry, if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. Weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's J. Mullins Jewelers, 352 West Murphy Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged to follow,
give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Go to J. Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Murfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry, if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. Weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's J. Mullins Jewelers, 352 West Murfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged follow, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Go to J. Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Murfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry, if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. Weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's J. Mullins Jewelers, 352 West Murfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. All right, folks, we're back. And Bart and Scott and Brian, if you're listening, listen, I want you to know I went to the trouble to clean up the desk while we were here tonight, and Frank and Carrie helped out, and even Connor. And it's nice and shiny and clean. And thanks to me and in my clumsiness, we need 13 years for that to happen. That's not bad. No. I can go, let's see, another 13, that'd be 26 years I'm here. Lord help. And Lord help y'all and the listeners, I'm telling you. Okay, we're going to play this now. Go ahead. Can you go back to the other one where, here's where the Prime Minister, and this is Mr. Help me out, Carrie. You know the man. This is
Mark Carney.
Mr. Carney.
Prime Minister Carney.
Carney. Okay. Yep. And I want you to hear what he says. Take a listen to this.
I know that these are dark days. Dark days brought on by a country we can no longer trust. We are getting over the shock, but let us never forget the lessons. We have to look after ourselves. And we have to look out for each other.
I never ever thought, as an American, as a person born and raised in Kentucky, and now 45 years plus here in Tennessee, that I would ever hear those words. That this country cannot be trusted. Now, may I say this? And I know where you're prime minister. I think I can feel where this man's coming from. this is not normal.
Mm-mm. No.
No way.
Think about 9/11. Where did all the Americans go? It was Canada that was taking them in. You are family.
Mm-hmm. Sure you are.
Mm-hmm. It's absolutely mind-blowing.
It is. Let's just be honest. It is because of Trump. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to go to this section. Connor, if you would, play this. This is from Ari Melber on MSNBC. Now, this is the Canada. Tom Clark, he is Canada's Consul General out of New York. Yep. Does he stay in New York City primarily, I think?
Yeah, Frank? Definitely. Yeah.
This is the punch in the nose situation. I want you to listen to what this man says and be able to pay attention to what he's saying. Go ahead, Connor, and we'll walk through it.
Had said to me some time ago that this is running really deep in Canada. I've since learned that from all my Canadian family and friends. But it's deeper than anything I ever recall in terms of disputes between Canada and the United States, which, by the way, have been going on since the creation of Canada. Oh, There's always been disputes.
Yeah. Oh, no, for sure. I'd say I've never seen my country like this ever before. Canadians have been galvanized. The level of attachment to Canada, even in places like Quebec, which has variously at times tried to secede from Canada, the attachment to Canada there is well over 80%.
Right.
We've never seen anything like that.
Right.
But it's born out of a sense of anger and betrayal.
Yep.
And that is the motivating factor in Canada right now. We've been punched in the nose by our very best friend, and we're trying to figure out why.
Any answer to the why?
Initially, Donald Trump said it was because of the border and fentanyl. Now, on those issues, we have no disagreement with Donald Trump. Every border should be secure, and fentanyl, if we had a magic wand, would disappear from the face of the planet tomorrow.
Right.
The problems on the Canadian border, however, are minuscule. Doesn't mean we shouldn't attack it. Doesn't mean we shouldn't do something. We stepped up with over $1 billion to help essentially CBP take care of the problem on the American side. You see, the issue is we have fentanyl coming from the United States into Canada.
Right.
We also have illegal immigrants coming from the United States into Canada. And, of course, vice versa. This is a problem that both countries have to work on. This is not a Canada problem.
Right.
This is a Canada-United States problem. Everything can always be made better.
The punch in the face thing is interesting because it's not just the trade. It's this territorial discussion.
Yep.
This idea. Let me tell you what President Trump said on Thursday at the White House. He said, Canada only works as a state. We don't need anything they have. As a state, it would be one of the great states anywhere. This would be the most incredible country visually. If you look at a map, they drew an artificial line right through it. We don't need their lumber. We don't need their energy. We have more than they do. We don't need anything. Now, there will be a little disruption, but it won't be for very long.
Okay, I think you got an idea where we're going to carry.
I have to respond to that.
Please do.
Canada doesn't have anything we want. Therefore, we want to take over Canadian land and steal their resources because there's nothing there we want. Is that the argument I just heard?
Mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah.
You know, I'm with you all the way. Oh, we got a call. Caller, please go ahead.
Mr. Raymer, how are you? I just wanted to...
Oh, hello, Jeff. How are you?
Well, good. I just want to tell you two Canadians please excuse our leader. excuse the leader we have. Excuse the Americans. The first time I understand putting him in. This time I don't understand. So excuse our leader and the Americans that put him in office. Excuse that because the first time I didn't understand they didn't know what he was about. This time they put him in, they knew what he was about. That's the problem.
Most Canadians know it's not the people.
Yes.
Oh, I know that. You see an America that voted for Donald Trump just kind of, you know, by the wayside, they were just trying to excuse it and, you know, don't, that kind of thing.
Jeff, I want to ask you something. You're a big sports fan. You think we'll ever compete with Canada in hockey?
Well, I don't know. We tried to and lost in Oakland.
Yes.
It's good competition.
It is
good competition.
The thing about this, Edwin Lee, is when they bid, see, Trump got challenges in court. He can't go to court and overturn it. If he could, he would do it, though. But see, he can't. It's something he can't overturn.
Yeah.
He can't go to the Canadian Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, and overturn it. But he would if he could. He can't do that.
Jeff.
I do want to say, one of the things I do, I don't know if y'all are big on this, but I know in the summertime here, before the NFL starts. They have some Canadian football.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Before the football, before the NFL starts. And I do like to, I enjoy watching that as well. I just want to say how, because I know, I know y'all's football is more of a wide open type game. The field's wider. It's 110 yards long.
Yes, right. It is. Yep. Right.
And the end zones, the end zones are 25 yards. Emily, did you know that?
Yes, I knew it. There were some different dimensions to it. Okay, yeah, I knew that, but I wouldn't.
Instead of 10 yards long, they're 25 yards long. Mm-hmm. Of course, when you have the extra points or field goals, the goalpost right up on the end zone. They're not back 25 yards.
Oh, okay. I know. All right.
In the NFL, they used to be that way. I don't know when they moved them back. Mm. They used to be right on top of the end zone there.
Right at the goal line.
But I know it's wider. Instead of four downs, it's three downs.
Correct.
You know that.
Yeah,
I do enjoy watching that some before the NFL season gets started. But but no, I don't understand Donald Trump. But I do know that he wants certain countries. I know the Ukraine deal. He's been wanting to have part of that country for the resources or something, natural resources or some business he wants to.
The minerals.
I can tell you something about mineral rights because we went through that on our family farm in Kentucky. So that is something I do. I am unfortunately familiar with.
Oh, yeah. Jeff. Well, I know, but that's why he wants part of Ukraine for that is because of the mineral rights. And I'm sure Canada, he'd like to have parts of Canada for the mineral rights too.
I bet he would.
You guys are saying, y'all's country is very, very huge. And I'm sure very, very in the natural resources and things. Mm-hmm. I'm sure y'all got a lot of natural resources, but I didn't know that y'all had that too. I thought y'all had a lot more than the population wise. I didn't know your population was. I mean, that's not a small population, but I thought it was just a lot more people. I guess with the ice and snow and things like that, part of y'all's province, people I don't want to live up in the cold like parts of our. And I did want to ask you another thing. I know one of y'all's mayors. Well, I don't know what you call a mayor or whatever. I know some of the northern states in America, Maine, North Dakota, things. They get their electricity from Canada.
Oh, yeah.
And I know this guy, I don't know who the guy's name was.
Doug Ford.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he come out and said, he said, when all this terror was going on, he told the United States, or the White House, or whatever it was, he said, I will cut off their electricity with no warning and a smile on my face, what he said.
Yep, that's for Ontario. They supply electricity for, I believe it's three different states, but
Minnesota,
we also have
Michigan,
Quebec that provides electricity to different states. We have Alberta. So if all the provinces cut the electricity to the states, there'd be millions and millions of people without power.
It's in the millions.
Power.
Like I said, I know that, and I'm not sure. I'm sure the Canadian electricity is a little bit cheaper, but I just remember him coming out and saying that, and I know they had some kind of deal, and of course, some of the media says that Trump's going to win and try to, he's pretty much talks them down or whatever.
No,
well, they've decided at this point not to turn the electricity off. They're just going to add a 30% tariff to the electricity.
Oh, God, we're back to that.
What they'll do, they'll add a tariff until this winter, when it's all been blizzards, then he'll probably turn it off. That's what they'll probably, if it goes on that long, I don't know how long it's going to go on.
Yeah. Whatever.
That's my guess. I'm hoping you don't.
I think a good point that you.
I appreciate your show, guys. Thank you.
For sure. Well, I
thank you.
I do think a good point he's raising is that nobody's going to win in this tariff war.
Tariffs just hurt everybody.
It's a joke.
Exactly.
Come on. I mean, the electric. I mean, just tell me. Tell us how your country is set up, the hierarchy.
Parliamentary system.
Parliamentary system, please. Yeah. We were talking outside before we come in. Yeah. Please let people know. Sure. You're a subsidiary of England.
We are part of the Commonwealth.
Part of the Commonwealth. And actually, up until 1937, we were called the Dominion of Canada.
Okay.
We were actually a dominion of the British Empire.
Right.
And what that meant is that the British Empire had certain control over certain aspects of Canada managing itself, but primarily when it came to foreign affairs. So that's why in World War I, for example, when Great Britain declared war on the Central Powers, Canada was automatically in World War I.
Right.
We were automatically in there.
Right.
But then Canada did so well in World War One. In many cases, Canadians were, especially towards the latter part of the war, Canadians were always put in the as the frontline troops, as shock troops, because the Germans hated us and they were afraid of the Canadians because we were such fierce fighters.
Sure.
So we did so well in World War One that in 1937, the UK passed the Statute of Westminster. And that basically gave Canada all of its own control over its foreign affairs. So that when World War II came around, we actually didn't declare war on Germany until about 2 or 3 weeks after Germany had already declared war. And the reason why Britain declared war, of course, was that they had a treaty with Poland.
Sure.
And so when Poland was invaded, then Britain,
right,
et cetera.
Okay.
Politically, structurally, we're a federal state just like the United States.
Sure.
We have three levels of government, you know, federal, provincial, municipal. In terms of the parliament, the parliament is basically the equivalent to Congress.
Right.
Okay. And parliament is made up of two houses, the House of Commons and the Senate.
Okay.
Senators, very briefly, they're appointed. They're not elected. They're appointed by the Governor General on the advice of the Prime Minister.
Okay. All right.
They cannot hold up any financial bills whatsoever, especially taxation bills, because we share the same belief as the United States: no taxation without representation. So tax bills have to originate in our House of Commons, which is the equivalent of your House of Representatives.
House of Representatives.
Exactly.
Okay.
And the seats in the House of Commons are proportioned by population, by province.
Right.
Okay. Ontario, of course, being the largest, they hold, I think they hold about 122 seats in the House of Commons. Go right to Ontario. So that shows you how much power Ontario has politically.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, because you need 170 for a majority, right?
Right.
In the House of Commons, and Ontario already has 122.
Sure.
So there is a little bit of, you know, friction between some of the other provinces
in sure
Ontario.
I'm sure there
But it is what it is.
It's based on population.
Yeah.
And the population density in Ontario is that high that they need that much representation.
Exactly.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's common sense.
It's
right?
Not done because we just want it that because you want it that way. It's based on the representation.
It's the exact same principle that the House of Representatives has been created.
Sure.
Constitutionally, a federal election has to be held every 5 years.
Right.
And when the time for an election comes up, the Prime Minister goes to the Governor General and says, "I'd like you to suspend Parliament because we need to have an election as per our constitution."
Sure.
And then we go through with that. Now, a lot of people may think our prime minister is the equivalent of your president, but that is not the case.
Sure.
The prime minister of Canada is more equivalent to your speaker of the house.
Right.
Really.
Okay.
Because the prime minister serves in the legislature, which is the House of Commons.
Sure.
Our executive is the King of England, and he is represented in Canada by our Governor General.
Okay.
And for a law to become law, once it passes through our House of Commons and Senate, then the Governor General has to sign it, just like the President would sign a bill coming out of Congress.
Okay.
Very, very similar. But more power rests in the legislature in Canada from an executive perspective.
Because
once a party, after an election, the party that has the most seats, the Governor General will ask the leader of that party to form a government. And that prime minister will form a government by creating his or her cabinet.
Okay, I think you left something out there that Americans might not understand.
What's that?
In Canada, we don't vote for prime minister.
No.
You vote for your local representative. You vote in your riding for who you want. And then the way the prime minister is determined is they look at how many ridings the PCs got, how many the Liberals got, how many the NDP got.
Okay.
And whichever party has the highest, won the highest number of seats.
Yep.
So they have the majority within the government, whichever party it is.
Not always a majority either, I will add. But
I meant
most seats.
The most
Just
seats.
The most.
Okay. Right.
Then
okay.
their leader. Mm-hmm. becomes prime minister. So only the representatives that we voted in actually vote for the representative they want to be leader of the party.
Yep.
So the general public, we don't vote for prime minister.
They didn't vote for Mark Carney.
No. Mark Carney.
Your representatives do this.
Mark Carney became prime minister because there was a leadership race within the Liberal Party. It's like a leadership race in a Republican or Democrat.
Like your primaries.
Sure.
Well,
okay.
Yeah.
Kind of.
kind of, sort of. But you're right. The Prime Minister, Mark Carney, even though he's now Prime Minister, he's sure. only Prime Minister because he's now leader of the Liberal Party.
Right.
It's not because he has a seat in the House of Commons, which he still doesn't have.
Okay.
He won't have it until the next federal election, which has to be held before October this year.
Okay.
So
then that will, quote unquote, make it official.
If his party wins the most seats in the House of Commons, then he will become Prime Minister, yes.
Right.
But let's not forget, though, Canada is a multi-party democracy.
Sure.
We have three major parties, the Conservative Party, Liberal Party, and the New Democratic Party. And they kind of, you know, in that order, it kind of goes right to left, relatively speaking.
Okay. All right.
But then we also have smaller parties. The Green Party has a seat or two. The Bloc Québécois.
I say Bloc has a few seats. Yeah, Bloc is more specific just to Quebec, so they don't get the same number of representatives from across the country.
Yeah. Sure.
But they do do very well. They get a decent number of seats within Quebec.
I think they have 22 seats right now in the current House of Commons.
Well, I'll tell you what. Now your status here, you're American citizens?
No,
we are legal permanent residents.
Yes.
Do you vote in elections here?
No, we do not vote.
No. And you know the funny thing, Ed, is when we first came here back in 2016, and we came here on a work visa. I had a work visa, so I could work legally here in the States. Sure. Carrie couldn't. The kids couldn't, but I could.
Well, you are a professor at MTSU.
Correct.
Right.
The funny thing is when we went to the DMV here to get our licenses, our Tennessee licenses.
Right.
They wanted the guy at the desk here, he wanted to register us automatically to vote.
Well, no. He didn't ask us. He just automatically clicked the box for voter registration, gave us the paperwork to sign. I'm like, what
We're
did you do? I flat out refused to sign that. No, you can't like, oh, well, I just automatically register. Right. I'm like, you can't do that because we're not eligible to vote. You can't register us. And I had to get him to tear up the paperwork and redo it because I flat, like, there's no way I was going to sign that.
And he didn't know.
No, he just thought it would be handy.
I'm beginning to see where part of the problem is here in the States, I think.
I don't think it's the individual voters who,
if they get misinformation. Yeah. I mean, if we got a notice saying, oh, you're eligible to vote, and we didn't personally research it and know for ourselves, we could get in a lot of trouble. So we just stay right away from that.
It felt to me a little bit like entrapment, to be honest with you.
Sure.
You know, hey, Canadians here on a visa, why don't you sign up and register to vote in our federal or state elections?
Right. And remember, when we sign up for our license, we bring our Ontario driver's license. We bring
our passports.
Driving records in Canada. They know that we're from another country when we sign up.
Obviously.
Yeah. Sure. So you also hear stories about former felons. Who have been given some sort of information that they can vote now, and then that's not in fact the case.
Yeah.
So I think the misinformation is a big deal. I don't think you always have to, or I don't think it's right to always point at the person and saying, oh, you're voting illegally.
Sure.
You know, I think there's a lot more to it that has to be investigated and those sorts of things.
Now, what is your status now? We were talking about that earlier. You've got your immigrants.
Permanent residents.
Legal permanent residents.
But now what you were, something had come up or you were talking about.
Well, what I was mentioning is during the special session in January.
That's what I want to get to.
They passed a new state law where even though we are legal permanent residents, we, as of next January, we are no longer eligible to hold a regular driver's license. We have to hold a temporary driver's license. And I actually went up to the Hill and spoke to some representatives, and they're just basically rolling their eyes like, well, why do you care? You should just be thankful we give you the tools to drive at all. And I'm like, well, it seems kind of odd if I'm here legally and I'm here permanently, and our green cards literally say on the top of them in all capitals, permanent resident.
Sure.
Why can't I have a permanent driver's license? Like, it seems like the writing's on the wall.
Mm-hmm. So in other words, don't bother us with it. There's no sense in,
Yeah, and then they're going to mark us by giving us special driver's licenses to make sure it identifies us as being something other.
Yeah, they're a different colored license in that. So if, you know, you get pulled over for a traffic stop, pull out and they'll just see, oh, you're an immigrant. And given that they are currently in the process of deporting with legal, the ICE, permanent
the ICE people, yeah,
residents,
and
but people,
people
with green cards with mm-hmm. that who have not been charged with a crime.
Yep.
And they are being taken to detention centers. That's terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, that people say, oh, we're not against immigration. We're just against illegal immigrants. Well, then why are we attacking people who have done it the right way, who have gone through all the legal steps?
Spend all that money.
And we're already seeing these cases come before court, and absolutely. People are exonerated totally. Yep. Sorry we took up your time and all that. I don't know who's supposed to reimburse them for all their time mm-hmm. And their legal costs.
Mm-hmm.
But
exactly.
You know,
it's scary times.
Yes, it is.
It is. And
it
speaking of that,
is.
I'm going to transition because I'm looking at the time.
Sure.
We're here to talk about Canada, but of course, we know that I'm with the Rutherford County Library Alliance.
Yeah.
And, sure. You know, Frank is a professor of library science. This
yes,
is an
I
issue
am.
Very.
I'll tell you what, let's do. Let me do. We've got a little, we got way more time. We got 17, 18 minutes left. Let's go to the last break and let's
sure.
get that out of the way and let's give Carrie full time. You know, do what she needs. Frank and Gary Lambert are here. Connor's on the board. My name's Ed Raymer for the Edwin Lee Raymer Show. Stay with us back right after this. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged follow, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Go to J. Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Murfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. Weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's J. Mullins Jewelers, 352 West Northfield Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Frank and Carrie Lambert here. Carrie, y'all got something coming up with Rutherford County.
We do. I'm sure people remember us talking about all the things happening at the libraries.
Right,
and
happening
last...
at the Board of Education, too, which I've noticed on YouTube.
Yeah, it's the focus lately. Most of the attacks have been happening at our school board. But we are back to the public library again. So please remember this when people are saying, we're not banning books at school. People can go get them from the library. And I keep saying, no, you can't. You ban them at the library first. Now we're back to the public library. And it is the same group. I have some stuff I can read later from their side. We call them the white shirts because they show up in white and they want books banned.
Sure.
At our public library board meeting tomorrow, Monday, March 17th, 5 p.m. at the old courthouse on the square.
Sure.
They're having a board meeting where one of the action items is to remove material that promotes, encourages, advocates for, or normalizes transgenderism or, quote, gender confusion in minors. And that's a real problem. First of all, transgenderism is actually a derogatory term. We're assuming they knew that when they used that. And this is just, this is nothing but hate. It really is.
Well, your key word there, Carrie, with all due respect, and you know this, you have assumed again, and that they knew that
Well, no, I am, because the reason it's on there, I'm going to go now. This was an article that was sent to me this past week. It was published on March 11th. And just a couple little sound bites here. Quote, while there is clarity that an evil movement is afoot sowing gender confusion where it doesn't exist, there's irony in the timing to confront the issue on this particular day. This is a call for more of the white shirts to come out on Monday.
Okay.
And he is comparing us purple shirts to the Irish raiders who isolated St. Patrick for 6 years as a shepherd. And they're saying, you know, how it's great this is happening on St. Patrick's Day because we're snakes. And I just want to get to the end here. They end it with, we'll soon see where our officials stand on the question whether we are to be a community of, quote, groomers or guardians of our children. Together this St. Patrick's Day, we must all hold up our shamrocks of the Trinity, joining en masse with Cody York to rid Rutherford County of the, all caps, snakes and their books espousing transgender ideology. And the irony with that is that restricting access to information is one of the tactics that actual groomers use, because if you keep children ignorant and you don't give them the language to report when they're being assaulted, that's grooming. And if we were really guardians of our children, we would make sure our children have access to any and all information that they need.
Agreed.
So they're really twisting it around. You know, I've heard a lot of people, you know, cancel culture. Well, essentially, we have a group of people here that are trying to cancel a decent sized segment of our population because they just don't like them. So this is all about the First Amendment. You know, there's not supposed to be consequences from the government for speaking out. And these authors have written books. Our librarians have put them in the library so people who need that information can get it. And our government is saying, no, I don't like that. I don't like these people. They keep going on about how there's only two genders. It's like, did you fall asleep during science class?
Yeah, I know.
Not, I mean, if a child is born with ambiguous genitalia, they tend to do a surgery and make them female, because it's easier plastic surgery wise to make someone look female than male. And yet they can have an X and a Y chromosome. There are many conditions where you have just an X or you have XXY. There are so many things that come into play that these people are just, oh, no, it's just boy and girl. And it's just the amount of ignorance.
Well, I mean, this topic is mind-blowing. You're getting into the medical end of it, in which I do happen to know a little bit about some of those people. And I don't believe any of them are doctors, okay? I know I'm not. We've got a caller on the line. Sure. Connor, go ahead, caller. You're on the air, please.
Yes, Ed. How you doing?
Doing fine.
I just wanted to thank you for having this show tonight. It's been very informative. I learned things I didn't know.
Well, thank you.
And awesome. I enjoyed listening to the whole thing. And we're going to get things straightened out. It may take 2, 3, 4 years, but... we're not going down.
Well, I thank you very much, and I thank you for calling. Are you a regular listener, or did you just happen to pick up on this, or if I might ask?
I try to listen every week.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
It's all right.
Yeah. And Frank and Carrie are awfully fine people, you know.
Yes, they are. They sound like intelligent, reasonable folks, and that's something that we need more of around.
We try our best, to be sure.
Yeah. And well, I'll say this. From what time I've known them, Frank does everything that Carrie tells him to do. And he's a good little soldier. Well, I do, too. And
it's going to be 32 years and counting for marriage for us. So, I mean, I must be doing something.
We've been together 35 years.
Yeah.
So it's 1990.
Okay, well, I got you beat there. Wife and I have been together. We've been married 43, so...
Yeah, and you're just a wee bit older than us, right?
Why does somebody bring... Caller, will you please not bring my age up, please?
All right.
Thank you. Sir, how do you listen to us, if I might ask?
On the old-fashioned radio.
I'll be doggone. Well, thank you very much, and I appreciate your calling. I know Frank and Carrie do. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very
much. Y'all have a good evening.
Thank you.
You too.
Much appreciated.
Bye-bye.
Excellent.
Okay. All right. Well, you got a fan.
Yes.
And, yay.
Well, you know what, Ed? We're not coming in here to change everything. We're not trying to make Murfreesboro and Rutherford County a Canadian county.
Sure, but, I understand. Yeah,
but when I moved my family here in 2016, I didn't move here with the expectation that our First Amendment rights would be challenged. I mean, we're already contending with my daughter not having as many rights as a lot of people enjoyed up until a couple of years ago, right?
Oh, no.
So,
right. Yeah, when we moved here, we moved here on the condition that, I mean, you have to remember what people outside of the country hear. Mm-hmm. America, freedom. Freedom, mm-hmm. freedom. Look at our Constitution.
Yeah, I know.
We believe in our Constitution. We believe in our history. And, so you learn about the history, you learn about the Constitution, you learn about freedom, and then you move here, and all of a sudden, we've never had so little freedom in our lives, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, honestly.
Like, so many people are like, oh, aren't you so happy you're in America now? You've got this freedom. Sure. And I'm just like, I had all my freedom taken away from me. Like, I know not all that's an exaggeration,
I know. But many of the
freedoms taken away from me.
You have. Yeah. As a woman, you have.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. So it's a little scary. And I've never argued anything about this needs to be like Canada. Let's do it this way, the way we do in Canada. I just keep going back to the Constitution. Let's follow the Constitution of this country. That is supposed to be this is the United States. The states are supposed to be united. What unites the states? The Constitution.
All you're asking is follow the rule book.
Exactly.
It's the rule book's been laid out for roughly 240 years, 250 years.
And,
go ahead.
And also, Ed, freedom of the press and freedom of religion are both covered in the First Amendment, right?
Exactly.
And, having books in libraries that certain people or certain groups of people are opposed to based on their religious beliefs or that, that doesn't take away any rights from them.
No, these books do not jump off the shelves, open to a page they find offensive, hit their kid in the head, and force that information.
Yeah.
They're there for the people who need them. And every parent has the right to contact the library and restrict access for their own children. All they have to do is talk to the librarian and say, I don't want my kid signing out these types of books, whether, they'd be scared by this or this doesn't align with our views or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they can customize for their own child and so that everyone's parental rights are being respected. Mm-hmm. But we have some parents or just individuals in our society that want to take away our parental rights and our children's rights to access information.
Mm-hmm. I was never so proud. Our father passed away and he was a small country preacher. Mm-hmm. Okay. Pastor, and I'll start it sometimes. People, now I'm a son of a preacher, and a lot of people think I'm gonna say something else. Okay,
we have to finish it. Son of a preacher, man.
Okay, that's enough. We're not gonna go there either. But seriously, and so when Dad passed, we all had different things, and I and our brother, our middle brother Steve, is mostly the historian of the family. Mm-hmm. He's sort of taken over that part of it. Awesome. And I've got a lot of stuff at our house, too. But our father had a copy, I believe, I'll stand corrected, but he had a copy of many different religious, or he had a copy of the Quran.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How are you translated to English, of course?
Of course, yeah.
Now, this is a guy that was born in 1936, mm-hmm. my mother as well. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to know, what are we talking about here? Mm-hmm. Because from what I have heard from serious people, mm-hmm. we're not that far apart.
No, it's all
the Old Testament, I think, in Christianity matches up fairly closely with several other religions. And I mean, I know they veer and they have slightly different views in that, but there's more similarities than dissimilarities.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And it's so ironic to me. Of this current party on the right, that is the Christian party, okay, whatever you want to call yourselves, and I know you're listening because I know you do because I see you on Facebook. You can't stand it, can you? Yeah, boy, I tell you what, common sense marches in. Oh, God, should turn it off. No, but I mean, one of the greatest, I don't know if you all remember or not, but he was a former senator by the name of Howard Baker. Mm-hmm. Here, he worked under the Reagan administration. Mm-hmm. But he had a very, very good saying. You know, he said, you might want to listen to the other guy every once in a while because he might actually be right.
Mm-hmm.
And Terry Livingston just called me from Knoxville. And Terry, I know you called the wrong number, so you can call 615-893-1450. I'm using the radio station for a communication device, Connor. So if you have to, you might, that's illegal under FCC communications, but I don't care. Terry, thanks for your call. But, I mean, how are you going to know what something's about if you don't read it? Now, and folks, let me say this. We're not talking about putting pictures of naked women in Hustler or what used to be Playboy, because I think you told me once there is no Playboy anymore, is it?
I think it's just online.
Well, one of the ladies told me they don't have it. Whatever, I don't know. Used to be Hustler and
Penthouse and Playboy.
Penthouse, Playboy.
Yep.
That's not what we're talking about.
No, it's not even close to what we're talking about.
No, and no librarian in a public library would collect that because their community the collection's built for the community.
Right. They need to meet the community's needs. If the book is in the library, it's because someone in our community needs that information.
Yep. Well, I mean, Frank, you deal with this every day. This is your bailiwick. You deal with it.
Yes.
And it's always been ironic to me that years ago, and I think we've had this conversation before, this would be redundant to a lot of it, but, I mean, one of the largest collections of pornographic material in the world.
Library of Congress.
Vatican,
yeah.
The Vatican.
Librarian brain going on here, sorry.
We said the world, not America.
No, you're right.
The
Vatican. Yes. Yeah.
I guess we need to go over and confiscate those. Carrie, I'll pick you up. We're going to go get those books in Italy. I mean, this is...
Have a nice trip.
I mean, well, I don't have a passport, so I mean, y'all can go for me. But, I mean...
You can send us on a trip.
Yeah,
no, I'm not. No, wait a minute. That's not the deal. But, I mean, it's ironic, the thing, if you'll slow down and just think about... Thinking is what I'm saying.
Exactly.
Think this thing through.
Rather than just react.
And these
react.
People don't. And I've seen these people at your meetings. I've seen them. The latest one that got me was the young lady that got up, and she quoted Bible situations that had happened.
Yeah. All the quote-unquote obscenity within the Bible. Yeah.
And I said it before, are you going to ban the Bible? Because Carrie, you and I've had this.
Lindsay Schultz.
The sordid stories in the Bible there was, man.
The Bible is only brought up to show the hypocrisy. They love this book. This book has important messages in it. So they are able to look past or overlook the obscenity and the violence.
Right.
And all we are saying is, why can't you overlook a scene or a paragraph or a word in a book that has other important points? I will never stand for challenging or banning any book. And I understand the knee-jerk reaction. Well, if they're going to do this, we're going to do that. And that goes against everything I believe in. And I want to remind people, we're purple for a reason. We are not Democrats. We are not Republicans.
That's right.
An everybody issue. They are taking away our First Amendment rights. So Monday, wear purple. Hold purple. Show up, please. 5 o'clock.
Frank and Carrie Lambert have been our guests tonight. We're a little over on time. Connor, I know you'll take care of that. Connor's been on the board. My name
is
Edwin. Thank you all very much.
Yep.
Till next Sunday night, I'm Ed Raymer for the Edwin Lee Raymer Show. And till next Sunday night at 8 o'clock, I'll catch you down the road. Good night, everybody.